Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. And if you're watching this on video, welcome to Leadership Training Today. Now, in today's culture, it is no longer, what I should say, politically correct for men to be the leaders that they were designed to be by their Creator. It's not politically correct for them to lead their businesses, to lead their family, to be leaders in the community. Today's PC culture has changed what is acceptable and blurred the lines of being a man to the point that some men have actually lost sight of whom they were designed to be. My guest today, Stephen Kuhn, is co-author of the book Unleash Your Humble Alpha, Own Your Presence in Life, and Become the Epic Leaders You Were Meant to Be. And he asks you, you know, take a look at the man that you are today. If your wife was a fly on the wall at the office, would she recognize who you were? Or if your employee was a fly on the wall at your dinner table, would you be embarrassed about how they see you at home? For many men, they lead basically a double life, one of authority and confidence at work, and one of not really earning the respect of the family at home. To help change that dynamic, Stephen Kuhn and his business partner, Lane Ballone, co-authored Unleash Your Humble Alpha, and they also founded a Facebook group called Venturepreneur Tribe with over 14,000 members to date, of which I am a member for the past year or so. And they also launched the Humble Alpha Leader Program with the goal of helping men to identify who they really are and to bring balance and fulfillment back to their life. And also helps them to own their presence in life and, again, to become the epic leader that is really already inside of them. They just don't know it yet. Stephen Kuhn is a decorated U.S. military combat veteran who had been handpicked to consult with some of the most influential people in the world, such as rock stars, singers, actors, business leaders, and politicians. He helps them to expand their brand, build their brand value and loyalty, and to help them develop strategies for increasing beneficial relationships to achieve basically true quality of life. Stephen's a best-selling author, and with his co-author, Lane Ballone, they're about to release this new book, Unleash Your Humble Alpha. But this is not your regular book release. Instead, they're donating the proceeds from a crowdfunding program to feed thousands of children who are living with food insecurity. Now, to discuss all this and more, help me welcome to the program, Stephen Kuhn. Stephen, thank you for coming on the program today, and thank you for your military service to this nation. You know, as a former cavalry officer, I appreciate all that you've gone through, all you've done, and your service, and especially now as a civilian.
Thank you so much. That was quite the intro. And yes, indeed, thank you for your service as well, sir.
Now, well, that's been a while. Don't call me sir. I work for a living. Yeah. The first question, Stephen, I always ask people is this. Other than that brief information I just shared, tell us in your own words, who is Stephen Kuhn?
You know, Stephen Kuhn is a guy who never really made a career out of anything, but did as many things as he could do in order to live the most exciting life that he could live. And I mean, I've had an exciting life. I've worked for Mick Jagger, Olivia Newton-John, Andrea Bocelli, Parliament members, NASDAQ companies, Fortune 500 companies. I've, you know, hung out and I'm best friends with the royal family. Just a crazy life that I today still can't even imagine because I turned all that off about 2 years ago. And now I'm a husband. I have two children with my wife, living in Hungary, and I'm very calm now. And I focus 100% on veterans building their business and helping them succeed in life, not only through the book that we wrote, which is also for civilians, obviously, but through business mentoring, business coaching, and consulting, turnaround business, and a little bit of M&A as well, and product placement, meaning we take the products to, you know, Costco, Walmart, and those kind of things. So it's based around anyone who has a business. So that's basically who I am now. I sort of turned off that you know, I guess, you know, glitter and shine life that I had. And, I think it worked out really well because now I have a 4 and a 5 year old and it's perfect because now I'm home all the time and I work from home and I get to spend every single day with my kids. And I'm glad I got it out of my system.
I lived not at that level, but when I was first making that transition, I worked for a ministry. It was a concert ministry, and we did 48 concerts in 1 year in different city, everyone in a different city. And I was basically in charge of his road crew. And, it was fun meeting all these big name people and, you know, celebrities and, you know, meeting the television production crews and, you know, they're setting all this stuff up, but it is not all that it's cracked up to be.
It's a grind. It's a grind constantly going. I mean, when you stop and think about it, you're sort of asking yourself like, where's this leading? You know, it's, I mean, I had, even in Berlin, Germany, I had, 3 cocktail bars in a nightclub. You know, and that was ridiculous. That was just at the same time, you know, and that was, and that was just, it was just crazy, but it sort of gets you addicted to that. And that's sort of where we lead into the book, is you get addicted to that outward performance, right? Yeah. Especially coming from the military, we know we can get it done and we choose to excel, look around, how can we do better than everybody else?
Right.
So we pour ourselves into that. And that's why my first marriage failed, because I, you know, I thought, okay, she's there, we're good. Now let me go back and do my thing. And that's where that lack of integration comes between personal and professional life. And so that's for the book. I actually combed through my life year for year and looked what I did wrong and how I recovered and what the process was. So we have 5 proprietary processes in our book that we use that came from our lives, directly from our lives. So it's no theory at all. It's all practical
knowledge. Yeah. Now, when you left service, you stayed overseas instead of coming back to the States. Why did you make that decision?
Yeah. You know, I felt like I wasn't done yet. You know, I didn't want to go back to the homestead. I actually did what they call a European out, where I didn't even go back to the States to out process. I walked off base and I was a civilian.
Oh, wow.
And I moved to Berlin and became a doorman. So, you know, there I am on my last day of the army. It's the funny thing that a lot of civilians don't understand is that when you're in the military, I can look at you. I don't have to speak a word. I know who you are, what your rank is, where you've been, what campaigns you served in, if you're in combat, all that stuff. Yep. So there's a bit of respect that just automatically shows up. Well, when you get out, you know, I was standing at the door of a club and some 14-year-old kid, you know, is telling me to get a real job, loser. You know, and you know, and I had just gotten back from Iraq and I was like, that's a lot to deal with. That's a lot to deal with. Typically it's ego, of course, but we don't realize that at a younger age. I was 27 when I got out, or 28. So we didn't realize that, you know, I didn't realize that in those days, but it's a difficult process. And I'm sure you've talked about it before, the transition from the military to civilian life and so on and so forth. So it's an endless pit of discussion.
Yeah, it's definitely a wake up call. You know, and I had a hard time with it. I really did when I got out, and it took me. You and I talked before we started the recording and stuff, but what I shared with you took me 10 years to be able to share. I mean, I was bitter, angry. You know, I hit the bottle. I mean, I went down a pit. When we talked off the air, you know, about the notice and all that stuff that I had. And I mean, I went off the cliff. I really did. It took me a long time to finally recover to the point that I could even share about it. And
I feel for you, because, you know, I did the same thing. I went off the cliff and, instead of drinking, I went to fighting. Mm. And in Berlin as a doorman, there's the choice. Matter of fact, I got so famous for fighting, I was being recruited for all these clubs to stand at the door, because I knew that I had no fear. And I actually had, people actually were planning, okay, where is he tonight? You know, that kind of thing. Let's go get him. And I would just take anybody on, you know. I was just so angry and so bitter, at my failure, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
You know? Cause I wanted to be a career soldier.
That's what
After Iraq, I just couldn't do it. After I saw what I saw and did what I did, I couldn't align the soldier that I knew I had to be successful. And with I don't want to say conscience, but with my moral standards or with my basis of what I live by, I just couldn't
connect the two.
Yeah, I couldn't reconcile. I couldn't sort of have that connection. Yeah.
Amen. Well, you began to make a name for yourself by helping other businesses to grow, and that ended up paying off when you were offered a job basically out of the blue back in Great Britain, if I'm not mistaken.
Indeed.
And you say that happened because you had invested in relationship capital. Can you explain?
Relational capital.
Yeah. Can you explain that?
Yeah, sure. Relational capital is just like financial capital. You know, you and you, the only thing, the difference is you have a guaranteed return on relational capital, but not on financial capital. So what that means is you lead with one thing, and that is an intention. That's the only thing we can control in life when we're between two people. Your intention, you can't control the outcome. You can't control the expectations. So drop the outcome and drop the expectations. One intention: how can I add value and solve the person's problem in front of me? And it doesn't matter if it's the postman or the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. Doesn't matter. If you can solve their problems, elevate them, and leave them happier and in a better mood than when you met them, you're going to be remembered forever. And that's all I did. That's literally all I did. And I did that when I was a doorman to the right people when I wasn't fighting. And I did that to executives. I did it to royals. I did it. You name it, I did it. And to this day, they're like, you know, you're someone we can't forget. And if you go on LinkedIn, you'll see some comments. People are like, Steven, someone you can't forget. And that's not because I'm special or talented. It's because my mission, my intention is to add value to you and to elevate you, to make you feel great. So literally, when I meet you, whatever mood you're in, you're going to be in a better mood when we leave each other. That's just my motto. It's the way I live. Amen. That's relational capital.
Your partner, Lane Ballone, and Lane was a Green Beret, so I want to mention that, and kudos to him as well. Both of you understand leadership principles. I mean, that's what we're, basically trained in from, late teens, 18, joining the military and stuff. Your experience in leadership techniques and how to be successful as leaders, but your program is not a form of military leadership training geared towards civilians, right? I mean, that's not what you're trying to do.
No, well, it's, if you want to look at it this way, the military taught us structure and discipline, right? Mm-hmm. So that was that part. And a lot of people try to take that and transfer it one-to-one to civilian world, which I did as well. In Germany, didn't work. Where in Germany, they can just say, I'm going to be sick for the next 5 days. See you later. So, you can't yell, discipline, all that kind of stuff. So only after we got out of the military did we really learn what leadership meant, and that leadership means self-leadership first, coming from within, being integrated in your life across the board so that you personally know who you are, what your identity is. So who am I really? What do I care about? What are my morals? Why do I do what I do? And then once you have that, you have an absolutely fantastic chance to find your purpose. And once you find your purpose, your true purpose amplifies your identity. And that's where that presence comes from, right? So no matter what you do, your identity is amplified. And of course, the most amazing thing about that, all that, is that once you have your identity figured out and you have your purpose, you can forget about how you're going to do what you're going to do because it happens, amen, right? You're following your identity. You're following your purpose. You're driving forward and you're not worried about, how do I do this? It just happens. So detaching from the how is super important if you want to widen your horizon. I always say macro view, micro focus, right? So you want to see the peripheral, because if you ask even Bill Gates or whoever it is, and Steve Jobs said it once, I think, that, about 30-40% of their success comes from luck and coincidence. But if you're micro focused and micro view, you won't see those. You don't see the people left and right that are just looking at you, or you wouldn't have talked to them and that kind of thing. That's why I talk to everybody I meet.
Amen. So, that's awesome. Okay, we're going to pause right here for a minute and we'll be right back after this message. Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. Now, in this new book, Unleash Your Humble Alpha, Stephen Kuhn and Lane Ballone work as allies with business leaders, with entrepreneurs, with pioneers, and with you, to rocket you to your next level by crushing societal expectations. This will definitely birth in you a new energy that will pour over into all areas of your life, into your relationships, your businesses, your teams, and will propel you to create what is often called a legendary quality of life. In addition, Stephen and Lane, they aim to feed 5,000 children, 5,000, who are living with food insecurity right now. And they are doing this with this special book launch. When you give a donation of support on the crowdfunding page for Unleash Your Humble Alpha, which, by the way, is the world's first strategic philanthropy book launch, they will donate 100% of net proceeds to an initiative called Generosity Feeds. Generosity Feeds has provided over 3.6 million meals to date to children in the United States. Generosity Feeds is an initiative of the Replenish Foundation, which is a registered 501c3 foundation. Just go to the links down below in the show notes and click on the link for the book. Please sign up today. It will help you with a unique understanding of how to unleash that humble alpha that's already within you, and you will make an impact in children's lives as well. Go to the link in the show notes down below right now, and I want to thank you personally for your support of this great initiative. You talk about working with actors and politicians, etc. How did you get to the place where they start seeking you out?
I seeked them out. Is that a word, seeked? I am soaked. I was sought. There we go. I was saying, I speak German and Hungarian, so sometimes I forget.
Mix them all up. I didn't say the Korean and English.
So. There you go. Wow, I'd like to hear that. The first one was Mick Jagger. So I heard on the radio that he was in Berlin for 3 weeks, giving concerts and stuff with the Stones. And I also heard at the very end, and his bodyguard stayed in Berlin or in London because he hurt his back. And so I went to his hotel, waited for him, went up to him and said, "Hey, I'm Mick Jagger. I'm your new bodyguard, Stephen Cohen." And they're like, he's like, "Who? What? I'm your new bodyguard." He's like, "Well, who sent you?" I said, "I sent me." "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, your bodyguard stayed in London. I'm here. I'm American. I speak German. I know the city like the back of my hand. I'm a veteran." Right. And he goes, "Go ahead and talk to CJ." And CJ was his, I don't know what he was, head of something. And he said, "Look, I got one question for you. And then you have the job if you get it right." I'm like, "Okay, what is it?" And he said, "Do you know where to get the best German sausage?" I said, "I do indeed." He goes, "You're hired." You know, how's 400 bucks a day? That was it. 3 weeks, 400 bucks a day. That was my first job. And then I realized the reason that worked was A, I went to solve a problem, right? He didn't have a bodyguard. I have a new one. And it was like, I was in front of him. He could only say yes. Number two, I had zero expectations. I can't control it. I can't control the outcome. So my intention was always important. Now, I didn't know I was doing that back then, only upon, you know, sort of research after in my life, like, wow, that's how I did that. Because I did it with Olivia as well, Olivia Newton-John. Met her with a friend on a beach. Yeah. Met her with a friend on the beach in Jupiter, Florida. And, you know, he introduced me and I just said, "Yeah, well, let's do this. I want to take your company to Europe. I live in Europe. I know different languages." And we ended up taking it to 6 countries.
Wow.
And it was just like that. Now, later, people started coming to me when they started seeing my profile was being raised. Mm-hmm. But it's all through the relational capital. You know, it literally is. Whoever I met, it didn't matter if I met him for a second or a year. It's always the same process.
Wow.
It becomes intrinsic.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I met Bill Clinton. I think he blew off his entire meeting just to talk to me. Yeah. And because I walked up and said, "Hey, William Jefferson Clinton, how you doing? Are you enjoying Berlin?" And he was like, "Oh, hey, yeah." And he just, you see what I did? Those two things that I did there is I used Mick Jagger's full name, I used Olivia's full name, and I used Bill Clinton's full name.
You didn't.
If I'd walked up to him and said, "Hey, Slick Willie," or "Bill," or "Will," or whatever, that he'd been like, "Who's this guy?" Or if I said "President," then I would have been like a fan, I guess you could say, or a follower. But I used his whole name. He's like, "Who's this guy?" Right. Yeah. So he's immediately open for
caught his attention.
Guards put up. Yeah.
Yeah. I've met a couple of presidents over the course of my life, but you know, just like in passing type thing. And as a police officer, George Bush was coming to the Port of Baltimore to talk about some big contract they had just negotiated or something. And they wanted our department down there to security and, you know, all that stuff as well. But they were just escorting people through. And this is after maybe 2 weeks after Baylor University women's basketball team had won the national title. And as he's walking by, you know, his daughter went to the University of Texas, right?
Yeah, right.
And I explained just dropping a key word with JLD that nobody, it makes sense to nobody unless someone was familiar with it. As he's walking by, I just, everybody's Mr. President, all this, and he's walking by, I said, "Hook 'em horns," which is the T slogan. He stopped right in his tracks and turned around and says, "From Texas?"
You know? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I lived down there for 10 years, and we started talking.
You know, yep.
Like, "Hook 'em horn. What the heck was that?" What?
Reporters are like, "What is it, code word? Yeah, it must be from Skull and Crossbones."
you say something that means something to them.
Right.
Nobody else says.
Right. And it catches their attention. Yeah, right. I love it.
And if we look deeper into the no expectations, if you take that into your personal life is glorious. You know, if I have an expectation of my wife, either I verbalize it or I don't have an expectation. If I have an expectation of my children, they will hear it, or I don't have an expectation.
Right.
You know, it's not fair to anyone in your life, number one, and it's specifically not fair to you because you will be disappointed because someone cannot meet expectations that are not verbalized. So when you learn to simply just cut out the expectation part of it, unless you verbalize it, suddenly like a 25% of your day just frees up because you're not worried about what mom's thinking or stepmom or wife or what. You're not worried about that.
Yeah, amen.
You have no expectations of what you want or what's supposed to be or how it should be because you verbalize it. It's literally, it frees you up. It makes you feel like a free man, a free woman. It's incredible.
Amen. Now, you have a nickname that I found called the Hitman, and it's coming from this training technique called HIT, H-I-T. Can you explain all of that for us?
Oh, yeah. HIT's my core values, honesty, integrity, and transparency. Honesty with myself and why I do what I do, and every decision that I make, I clear it through my conscience. Transparency is how I step into the world with that honesty. So how do I communicate my mission, my vision, my value proposition, whatever it is that I have, my ideas. And the byproduct of that is integrity. And that integrity allows me to be, it makes me authentic and allows me to dictate my own market value, if you will, because no one else is like me, because I'm true to who I am, my identity, my purpose and certainty as well. So it's all, that's one of the, you know, we've already spoken about relational capital and now HIT. And we have three other ones, you know, the other one's creating space. And creating space is we've touched on that as well. But this is the most powerful way to meet somebody, to have a meeting, to go to on stage, to have a discussion like this is, like I said, one intention only, that's to add value. And you're there wholly and fully for the person with 100% attention to them.
Mm.
Right? You're not there to pitch, even if you're selling something. You're not there to sell. You're not there to, no preconceived notions, no cookie cutter solutions. You're literally there. You show up wholly and fully. I'm here. One intention, add value, solve problems. What happens is there's a neutral space around you. You don't feel like I'm pressuring you or trying to get something out of you. So you relax. And that relaxation allows everyone to step into their own greatness, and you create that mastermind. When two minds come together and start creating solutions and answers to problems you've never would have come up on your own. And if you consciously dump expectations, preconceived notions, cookie cutter solutions, ideas, thoughts, answers you want to give that make you sound, get rid of all of that and walk into a meeting on stage with one intention, that's to add as much value as possible, specifically to elevate the people around you. And I'll tell you what, you win every time. Even if it's not you solving, it's not solving your problem, but solving their problem. Maybe you don't make any revenue, but you solve their problem. And guess what? You're going to get a referral somewhere else. You know, it's a law of reciprocity. You may not get payback from the person you help, but you will get payback from the universe, from God, you know, who pays it back to you. You do good, you get good.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's
awesome. Give what you have, you receive what you don't have. That's how it works for me.
Amen. Yeah. I love that concept. You know, and I've been implementing that in our business model for about the last year, and things have grown coming, I can't say out of the blue, you know, from places I didn't expect. But like you said, referrals, you know, because I just do this. This will help you. And this is what you got to do. How much do I owe you? Don't worry about it. Just implement, you know. Yeah. And then next thing I know, hey, you help so-and-so, and I got a question for you. And next thing, they're hiring me to do what, you know, what needs to be done as far as their online media and stuff like that. So I fully grasp what you're saying. That's awesome. And you teach that men don't have to really conform to the expectations of today's society. I mean, we don't have to, you know, watch what we say. How can I say this? Coming from a place of integrity and substance, is that what you mean by everything we just shared?
That's the only way you can do that. If you don't want to worry about what you say, don't want to worry about being in the, you know, shot down by the PC police, you come from a place of integrity. Simple as that. And integrity for me means doing what you say you're going to do. Don't do what you say you're not going to do. And, you know, when you mess up or when you do something wrong, you stand up to it. Right, simple as that. For me, that's integrity.
Exactly.
So when you come from a place of HIT, we like to say, honest, integrity, transparency, they can act, say, do whatever they want, but you're clean. Basically, you can stand naked, you know, metaphorically speaking, and they won't find anything on you because you're coming from that place of integrity. And that's so important because people want to go out there and say what they want. I'm a man. Well, you're not coming from a place of integrity. So of course you're going to get shot down.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to do it on the outside. What we're talking about. People try everything. They go to courses. They grow, you know, they grow like the man beard and they get tattoos and, you know, they do the full sleeves and they're trying to show to the outside world that they're a man. But inside, who are they? They don't even know a lot of times. Mm-hmm. So the book is meant to help guys and men for this time. We're going to do a humble woman as well. Mm-hmm. We already started working on that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're men, so we couldn't do that, you know, ourselves. So we had to bring a woman in on it. And what that does is it really gives you that presence. And I mean presence where you walk into a room, people's backs are turned to you. They turn around to see who came in. And you didn't say a word.
Hey, folks. Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's episode where I've been interviewing Stephen Kuhn, co-author of the book Unleashing the Humble Alpha. Now, I hope you're getting out as much out of this interview as I am, because as a leadership and team-building professional and a speaker in this area for over 30 years now, this is right up my alley. I mean, I am hanging on every word that Stephen's sharing with us. I've seen many types of programs in this area throughout my life, and I'm telling you right now, the Humble Alpha program is one that you need to get into. And you start by going down below and clicking on the link in order to order Stephen's book. Now, you'll be investing in your life, in your family's well-being, and you'll be making a huge difference in the lives of at least 3 children for every single book you purchase. If you can participate in the crowdfunding program on a deeper level, that's even better. Praise God. This is the world's first strategic philanthropy book launch. Stephen and his co-author, Lane Ballone, are donating 100% of the net proceeds to the organization that feeds children in need of meals. It's called Generosity Feeds. To date, this organization has fed over 3.6 million meals. Praise God. And they are donating 100% of the book's earnings to continue to do just that. Do yourself a favor and order this book today. Just use the link down below and take care of it right now while you're thinking about it. And be sure to come back tomorrow. This was only part one of a 3-part interview. I'm diving deep into this with Stephen Kuhn, and you do not want to miss any of his interview. Until next time, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.